Today's episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by FreshBooks. To see how FreshBooks can save you time and boost your creativity, go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter the Accidental Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, The Accidental Creative, Die MD, Louder Than Words, and the new book, Herding Tigers, which is about how to lead creative teams effectively. You know, many of us in the economy the way it is today and has been really for the last handful of years, many of us are looking for ways to venture out to start maybe side businesses or as they're called, side hustles. Ways to create additional streams of revenue to help us, you know, maybe pursue our goals, pursue our objectives, maybe just save a little bit of money, or maybe to actually start a business that could end up becoming the thing that we do. You know, the Axon Creative Podcast was kind of my first foray into this back in 2005, and it ended up becoming the company Axon Creative. And now I've got books and I travel all over the world and I consult and I speak with companies, but it really began, you know, 15 years ago as a bit of a side hustle for me, just kind of putting some ideas into the world. If that's the kind of thing that you've been thinking about, I've got a great, great guest for you today. His name is Chris Guillebeau. He's been on the show a handful of times. One of my favorite people in the world. He's the author of a bunch of best-selling books, including the New York Times bestseller, The $100 Startup. And he has a new book. It's called The Money Tree. And it's a bit of a fable about a person who starts a side hustle and sort of walks through the process of what that's like for the person. It's a phenomenal book. I think you're going to really enjoy it. And our conversation today really is about how do you determine what it is you want to do as your side hustle? So how do you kind of get to a place where you determine what kind of business you might want to start? And then what are some of the steps involved in figuring out how to take it from idea to execution. So we're going to jump into that conversation with Chris here in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. So whether you're a writer, a designer, or you make a creative living some other way, it's common to fall into a creative rut from time to time. It is. I mean, you're going to go into a rut at some point, and climbing out of that rut is different for each and every person. One thing's for certain, it takes time to get past those ruts. The right business tools are an easy way to find that important time that you need to focus on your craft or to focus on building your business. So have you ever heard of FreshBooks? If you've been listening to the Axon Creative Podcast for any period of time, I'm certain that you have. We love FreshBooks. We use FreshBooks. We know that you're going to love it too. It's easy to use accounting software specifically designed to save creative pros like you and me a bunch of time every single day. Here's how it works. You can automate your invoicing, so all you have to do is wait for payments. It's so easy to send an invoice. You can create and send an invoice in about 30 seconds. So easy. You can snap photos of expense receipts to easily log them and add them to invoices. You can accept credit card and ACH payments right there on your invoices and get paid up to 2 times faster. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. There are so many time-saving features. You can save up to 200 hours a year on this administrative stuff. And that rut that you were in, or all that time you were spending doing all of these administrative tasks, well, that's going to be a mountain of ideas before you know it. Right now, we're offering listeners a free 30-day trial of FreshBooks, no credit card required. All you have to do is go there, create an account. You can use it free for 30 days. Just go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter the Accidental Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Again, that's freshbooks.com/accidental and enter the Accidental Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. We thank FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it is great to have back on the show today, Chris Guillebeau. Chris is beyond being just like generally one of my favorite people in the world. Chris is a New York Times bestselling author of The $100 Startup, Side Hustle, The Happiness of Pursuit, and many, many other books. Chris has written a new book. It's called The Money Tree. This is a different kind of book, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but it's a story about finding the fortune in your own backyard. Chris Guillebeau, welcome back to the Axon Creative Podcast.
Todd Henry, thank you so much for having me back. I think I've been on a couple of times. I remember, I think I've probably told this story before, but I was just thinking about it before our conversation. Accidental Creative is the very first podcast I ever listened to, which, you know, goes back many, many years. It must have been, what, 2006 or something like that? What year did you start?
Yeah, I think that's in our first conversation. You mentioned that you were like, you, and frankly, you were probably one of the first listeners if you were listening to it that far back. may have been the only person listening, Chris, at that point. Who knows?
Probably not. But it's fun. It's always good to come full circle. So congratulations on this long running streak you have.
Well, thank you so much. And same to you. I mean, obviously, your world has just exploded over the last several years between obviously your books and your business and World Domination Summit and all the things that you've been doing for all this time. And really, I can't think of a better person, Chris, to write this book that is about to release. What is the official release date for this?
It is April 7th.
April 7th, yeah. So, and the book is called The Money Tree. And this is, the book is kind of like a parable, right? It's sort of like The Alchemist, sort of like a book that instead of just being a nonfiction book that says, you know, hey, here are seven principles for whatever, you kind of tell it in story form. Why did you choose to take this approach with this book?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. It is, it's a prescriptive fiction book, you know, for better, for lack of a better term, in the sense that I am trying to teach something, but I'm using this storytelling narrative to do so. And my hope is that people will read it, you know, who might not read a business book or a how-to book. And, you know, if people are familiar with some of my other books, then that's great. I hope they enjoy it. Tried to really invest in the narrative and the storytelling aspect of it. But I think there's a lot of people out there who, you know, don't identify as entrepreneurs or don't necessarily think, you know, that they could have a side business or something. And so I wanted to just kind of create this world, you know, with a series of relatable characters, in particular the protagonist, Jake, who's just kind of on a journey to figure things out. And he has a lot of debt and, you know, is just feeling crushed with that, like so many people are. And he basically, you know, through a series of misadventures and adventures, essentially finds his way out. And so I hope that people will be able to relate to that and say, you know what, I never thought I could do this myself. But, you know, especially in a time of uncertainty, in a time where a lot of people are asking, you know, questions about, you know, their future, their well-being, their security, et cetera, that, you know, they can take something from this and go and apply it. But not, as I said, not as you said, in a like dididactic, you know, step one, step two way, but something that will hopefully stay with them beyond that.
Yeah, that's what I love about this book is that it really, you know, like you said, it's not prescriptive, it's more descriptive. And I think people can kind of take away from it what they want and what's useful to them. And, you know, I found it challenging as well. I'm, you know, as somebody who's been, you know, I've had my own business for a number of years. And I just started thinking, well, first of all, Accidental Creative began as a side hustle in 2005, 2006, you know, and now obviously it's been my full-time thing for well over a decade, but you know, I'm starting little side hustles all the time, even as a part of my business, or maybe even not even as a part of my business, just kind of on the side, kind of doing little things where I'm experimenting, seeing if I can grow some revenue. So this is not, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is not just for people who are like, oh, I'm working for tips as a server. I need to start a side hustle, right? This is for anybody.
Yeah, it's for anybody. I mean, the character in the book, he actually like, you know, has a college degree and he's got this good job, you know, for a marketing firm. But, you know, as I said, he's got the debt as well. And like so many people have this student loan debt or credit card debt or just feeling underwater. So people from all different backgrounds, you know, fit that description, even entrepreneurs, you know, as you know, even self-employed folks. You know, this day and age, a lot of people are like losing income or having to adjust to like working remotely or just all kinds of change and disruption. But that also presents, you know, as you said, opportunity. So I'm like you, I'm always starting different projects and like, I'm never satisfied with one thing. It's like, I kind of fill my plate and it's like, okay, what's next?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I would love, I mean, we're right as we're recording this, you know, we're right. I mean, we're really right in the throes of the coronavirus outbreak. And I know a lot of people, and we're seeing like companies are shedding jobs, people are being laid off. You know, the people who are still employed are I think rightfully insecure about their job. I think any of us would be crazy not to be concerned at this point, given what's happening. You know, what are some principles, Chris? I mean, because you have, and the other thing I didn't mention is you have a podcast called the Side Hustle School, where you basically interview or talk through principles related to starting a side hustle. You've been doing this daily for how long has the podcast been in existence?
1,173 days.
Yeah. So, which is crazy.
Since January 1, 2017.
Yeah. And you don't, by the way, somebody told me this, and tell me if I'm wrong, but somebody told me that you actually record it every single day. Is that true?
Yes. So I am starting now, to be totally honest and transparent, I am starting now in my fourth year of doing a bit of batch recording. Yeah. So it's maybe 3 days a week. But for the first 3 years, yes, literally every single day I would record the episode. Once in a great while, there'd be like two or something if I had a travel day. But I actually liked the real-time element of recording it every day, even though I didn't technically have to do it that way.
Yeah, by the way, hats off to you, because I don't think I could do that. That's incredible. But what are some things that you have learned, and maybe some principles that played out in the midst of the money tree that you think would be really relevant to all of us right now who are in the midst of this time of uncertainty?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to say about this. And obviously there are, maybe the first thing is just to acknowledge that a lot of people really are in a difficult spot. And, the struggle is real. And I think sometimes it's good to just not gloss over that and say, like, it's true, we're going to get through this, but it's also, hard for people. So, since that is the case, it's also good to say, well, I'm not trying to say there is a silver lining here, but in addition, to whatever negative effects, this is going to have and is having right now, there is opportunity. Like, there is opportunity in a time of disruption, in a time of discontent. And you mentioned stories. Like, so many of my stories come to me from people who have been through some kind of change that initially is perceived as negative. Like, it could be like a really bad breakup or a divorce or something, or they could have lost their job. Like, I have a lot of stories of people that like lost their job and that was traumatic at the time. And they felt like, they were never going to be okay, but they ended up starting a little business that they've had this idea on, for a while, and just haven't done anything about. And then later they go back and say, okay, that was actually really good for me. So I am hopeful that, out of this time, we're going to have a lot of stories like that. And in terms of, principles and such, something that I really believe is that everyone is an expert at something. Sometimes I hear people that say that they don't have any marketable skills. They're like, I have the skills like that I earned in my degree if I went to college, or whatever education I have, whatever career I'm in right now. Like, I have the skills to do that, but I don't know how they will apply in this new economy and this new way of life and such. And I really believe that everybody is an expert. So there is something there that you can use in the knowledge economy. And I try to demonstrate that through the book as well, with Jake is like, well, I don't know what I would do. And then, a couple of people kind of talk him through different scenarios. And he begins with something pretty basic, which is reselling his college textbooks, and then later goes on to start a little service business. So there is something that everybody can do. It's just a matter of kind of unpacking that, or finding the fortune in your own backyard.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too that I found really interesting is, the subtitle is a story about finding the fortune in your own backyard. I think people think that, whatever it is out there somewhere, right? I need to go out and find the big idea. Right. I need to find, but the reality is for many people, it's probably something you're already doing or something you already know how to do, or it's something that's right under your nose. Like, again, I'll just go back to the example of Accidental Creative, which again, began as a side hustle for me. Like, I was kind of playing around with and recording podcasts and kind of doing some little like teaching engagements with some like creative directors and creative teams in my city well before that was a business for me. As a matter of fact, the reason I realized it was a business is because there was so much demand for what I was doing. And I was like, and so I think that sometimes we think like we have to go out there somewhere to find the idea or the business. And really often it's right, like you said, right there in your own backyard.
And now we're in this time where people are literally spending a lot of time at home, I think what you're saying points to this idea of externality, of like looking for some sort of external validation or discovery or permission slip, or, it's like somewhere out there is the next step. And the next step for whatever it is you're trying to do, whether it's, discover the idea, make progress on the idea, get your project, your product or service out to the world. Maybe it's a lot closer to home. Like when I first started the blog, The Art of Nonconformity, after listening to the Accidental Creative and being inspired by that and some other resources, I didn't know anybody. Like, I had done a few different things in my life, but I didn't have any social media platform. Like, I didn't, I just started with people I knew. I probably wrote to you. I probably sent you an email. It's like, Todd, been a fan of the podcast. I got this little project now. So
you did. And I remember, remember that email, yeah. Chris. And I remember replying. Yeah. I still remember that email when you sent it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, hopefully I wasn't pitching too hard,
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I was like, oh my gosh, who is this massively, well-known guy who's like, listened to my podcast? it was kind of one of those, because it was after you kind of had things up and going a bit,
Okay. Yeah, just a bit. But so like within your own skill set, right? Within your own skill set, there's something you can do. You know people who can help you advance the cause. And maybe the thing that you're supposed to do is the thing that's in front of you right now. This is actually something I tell myself all the time. So it's not just for beginners or somebody who hasn't had a side hustle. I often think, what's next? And for me, I'm like, what's the next project? And I have to remind myself sometimes, well, there are responsibilities right in front of me. There are opportunities. There are, you know, conversations that I have not engaged in or replied to. Like, there's a lot of stuff in front of you. And if you just do what's there, you know, then that's always a good place to start.
So what would you say to people who think, you know, well, that's great, but I don't have money to invest, or I don't have a lot of resources to pour into a business right now?
Well, I'd say that's good, because I don't want you to waste your money. You know, I don't have like a $2,000 back-end coaching program or anything to sell. And I don't think you should necessarily go out and spend a lot of money, whether it's on that or something else. You know, the whole point of Side Hustle School and my whole model is to start with, you know, as little money as possible. I think that's actually the benefit. Like, you know, don't brag about how much investment capital you've got. Brag about the fact that you started this business with $50 and a domain name, you know, or something. I mean, that to me is what, is where the value is. And then if your business becomes successful, then that is the time in which, you know, to invest in it. But you can do a lot. Like, I wrote a book before called The $100 Startup, which is a whole, you know, book of stories of people that started without, you know, significant money or capital at all. So I think it's absolutely possible. It depends on what you're trying to do, of course. Like, if you're trying to scale like a Silicon Valley, you know, style startup, then you need money. But there's so many, many other things that you can do that don't require that.
Yeah. And the great thing about starting small too is you can experiment and test and then see if you can make a profit. And then if you make a profit, great. And if you don't, then you can always pivot and try something else. And obviously in the book, Jake does that, right? You know, yep. And I think that's the great thing is, you know, that we are in an age where with a very little amount of financial investment, maybe a lot of time investment. And that's the thing, like, you have different types of pies, right? Like, the more you crank up the money piece of the pie, the less time you personally might have to spend, but the more expensive it's going to be and the riskier it's going to feel. Or you can crank up the time investment and, you know, then you can spend less money. But, you know, if you're willing to put in the time, really anybody can find a stream of revenue, if not develop a full-fledged business.
Yes, I mean, I do believe that is the case. And I don't want to overstate it and say, like, it's easy. Like, these things are, anything that's important to you is probably going to involve a certain amount of challenge, you know?
Of course.
So there will be like obstacles and setbacks. But yes, I absolutely believe it's, you know, it's possible. And for me, that's actually been one of the favorite things about working on the podcast for the past three and a half years is that, you know, I haven't run out of stories. Basically, I was kind of worried actually when I started, like, you know, year one, it's because I made a commitment, like a public commitment. Okay, every day, you know, for the rest of the year, I'm going to tell a different story. Yeah. And I only had maybe the first 12 to 14, you know, kind of outlined. And I just hoped that, you know, I'd be able to find them along the way. And, you know, surprise, surprise, you know, 1100 plus days later, still finding stories. And these are just regular people. They're not, right, you know, capital E entrepreneurs. You know, they're not having the startup thing, just right, people who have found a way to do something for themselves.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, and you had mentioned that before, we're talking about time, like, the one thing I always try to tell people when, you know, not, sorry to keep going back to Accidental Creative, but again, it's like, I think it is a really good example of like a side hustle that actually turns into something, right? Eventually, but it was like 5:30 to 7:30 in the morning and like 8:30 to 11:30 at night for like 2 years, mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah. that's what, because I was working right, a regular job. My wife was also working a job. We were in the process of adopting our youngest. We were running a nonprofit, mm-hmm. to fund international. Like, we had all this stuff going on. Uh-huh. It's like the only time I had to work on it was like before everybody woke up and after the kids went to bed, mm-hmm. like, that was it. But
that's so powerful. That's a powerful story. I mean, I think that's, people often ask me, like, I don't have time, like, I'm so busy. And, you know, and the answer is not just, you know, to work harder. I mean, the answer is, like, when you have this limited amount of time, you have to be intentional about what you do. You have to be like, okay, you know, during this block of time, this is, I mean, I know you talk about this a lot, right? But like, during this block of time, this is what I'm going to do. And this is how I'm going to make progress. And I think that's like a badge of honor. You know, this is like your first dollar. Like, if you had a pizzeria or something, you'd frame your first dollar, you know, when you're, you know, founding a brand or a concept, whatever it is, you know, like the Accidental Creative, you look back on those times and you're like, I wouldn't trade that for anything, right? Sure. Like, aren't you glad you started it that way as opposed to, you know, taking a big risk or, you know, cashing out your savings or borrowing money from your parents or somebody? Like, isn't it better?
Absolutely. No question. And frankly, even before before I jumped in full time, like my wife and I had a really serious conversation about what's it going to take for you to feel good about me going full time with this, right? Like even after there was revenue, it was like still, okay, what's the right time to go full time with this so that we all feel good about it. And listen, the thing is like that, you know, not all side hustles are going to become a full-time thing, and that's okay. And not all of them should, right? They're just designed to be something that can provide you with an outlet and also provide you with some extra income, perhaps.
Absolutely. Not everything has to scale. You know, not everything has to scale, and you don't have to see the end result before you start. I mean, I think like just relieving the pressure from some people, and because I think people are just overthink this stuff sometimes, and they're like, you know, they're treating this decision of like what idea to pursue like they would, you know, their you know, primary relationship decision or something. Like you're not getting married to this side. It's not a lifelong commitment. You're going to try something. And if it doesn't work, then you're going to try something else. And that's actually okay. Like it's actually quite freeing to do something for a month or two. And, you know, then at the end, you're like, well, I didn't spend a lot of money and I did spend some time. So that, of course, your time is valuable, but probably you learned something, right? Like you've exchanged your time to like learn something and now you know what not to do. Now you've gained some insight. Maybe through that process, you learned, you know, a totally different approach or idea that you wouldn't have had otherwise. So I think that's helping people not overthink is always a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I will say not only is the Money Tree, you know, not only is there a lot to learn for people, but it's just an enjoyable read. I think if you decide to start writing fiction, I think you actually, or continue writing fiction, I think you're off to a good start, Chris, just so you know.
Well, thanks, man. We'll see. Thanks. Appreciate that.
I look forward to your novel when it releases.
Right, my coming of age memoir.
Next, there you go. In the room. That's right. But just would love to hear from you. Like, what would be okay? So you're sitting across the table right now from somebody who's scared. You know, they're looking at the global economic situation right now, and I think we talked a little bit about this before we started recording. But like you and I are like, you know, we're looking at this with great, you know, apprehension right now. What's going on? You know, I think all of us are. So maybe I'll say like you're sitting across the table from me right now, or I'm sitting across from you.
Sure.
But like, what would you say to them right now in terms of, hey, here is what if I were you, here's what I would start doing today to begin to pull some of this together.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a great topic. I think, you know, first, we touched on this a bit as well, but just like recognize reality. Like this is kind of the world that we're in right now. I think sometimes people think that like persistence is the key to success and like, but you can't just keep doing the same thing all the time. So you can't just like, if your environment has changed, like you and me, like we have this events driven business, you know, I was getting ready to do a 40 city book tour. I think you said like speaking is like, you know, 50% of your work, but, you know, live speaking at events. So, you know, obviously I can't just like bang my head against the wall and say, you know, somehow I'm going to do that tour anyway. I mean, that's not socially responsible. It's not practical, all kinds of reasons why it's not going to work. So I have to be able to rethink. And so what I would say to that person, whether it's you or me or somebody else, it's like, okay, reality is here. But, you know, in some ways I've been here before. Like I haven't been here in this exact situation, of course, like no one has, but I've been in times, you know, of challenge, of trial. And I do believe that, you know, opportunities come from uncertainty, or they come alongside each other. They travel together. You have uncertainty, you have this fear, but there's also something out there that's, you know, that's new. There, people are looking for community. People are, all of a sudden there's different needs, you know, different needs and things are amplified. And so this is a time in which, you know, this is the time to move forward with whatever your idea is. You know, this is the time to start thinking about, okay, I've had this thing in the back burner for a long time, but I haven't done anything about it. Well, you know, this is a great opportunity. So again, I'm not saying that the coronavirus situation there's anything good about it, but even in the midst of something that's not good, we can often emerge better at the end. And I really hope that a lot of people will emerge better at the end of all this.
Yeah. And I agree with you. That's such good advice, Chris. And I think, you know, one of the things that will happen is I think we'll be more resilient on the other side.
Exactly.
Like culturally more resilient, we'll be better prepared in the event. Because this is probably going to come back again next year, you know, like we'll be better prepared when it does.
Right.
And, and not only that, but like economically, I think, you know, I mean, when things go really well for a while, which they have for, not for everybody, but for a big chunk of the populace, you know, there's a lot of just complexity and even waste and excess and things that build up. And like, this is going to force us to maybe be a little bit more focused and leaner and, you know, and it, like you said, it could be an opportunity for people who maybe got into a job where it's like, well, it pays well, but it's not really what I see myself doing, but you know, and now they're like, oh, maybe it's time for me to go do something that I'm wired to do, you know? So it could be an opportunity.
I mean, it's so hard to leave those jobs that are like good enough, you know, like it's so much easier to leave a miserable job. Like if you hate your job and it sucks and you're like, do not want to go there every day, then that's very motivating because you're like, I got to create a change. But if you're in the job that's also not your dream job, but it's okay, you know, it pays the bills, et cetera, that's a hard place to be, right? Yeah. Because then you become complacent and you say, well, you tell yourself that it's, you say like, well, I should feel guilty, you know, for wanting something different or whatever, but maybe this opportunity will, you know, help you kind of move along from that a bit. And maybe you're working remotely now, you know, and you haven't done that before. It's also a thing that I feel like people are going to be starting different kind of projects, like, you know, during the day, just because they're home more.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, Chris, you have been an example to me and an encouragement to me, and just following you even from a distance. And then there's brief moments when we have had the chance to interact. Like you've just been such a great source of inspiration and help to me. I know this book is going to help a tremendous number of people. And frankly, it's just enjoyable. It's called The Money Tree, A Story About Finding the Fortune in Your Own Backyard. Chris Guillebeau, if people want to come find you, where can they find you online?
Todd Henry, thank you so much. That's very kind of you. So the book is The Money Tree. If you go to moneytreebook.com, you can learn more about it. Or chrisguillebeau.com on social, which no one can spell. So the last name is G-I-L-L-E-B-E-A-U. My next life, I'm going to come back as Chris Henry, but for now, I'm Chris Guillebeau.
That is the one gift of Todd Henry, is it's like, you know, it's pretty hard to mess that up, right? But you'd be surprised anyway. Well, Chris, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Awesome. Thank you again, Todd.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.